Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Eli Willis, number one prospect in the system, not surprising with all of the graduations. The only thing that I would kind of take issue with is, you know, I'm such a Travis Sakura mark, I just think we've seen it at a level now where it's pretty much a slam dunk. This to me is a reflection of the TJ that Sakura has to deal with now in the year-long recovery and basically in a shiny objects world. Like, we're not going to see him pitch until the very end of next year in the minor leagues if he pitches at the end of next year. And then the following year in 2027, you know, you are on pretty strict restrictions and they'll baby him to the babiest babying you can baby with a pitching arm of his caliber. And so he'll be in the big leagues maybe, but there's going to be so many restrictions and rules. It's going to be like a 900-page manual for something that you just opened on Christmas morning. So maybe that's part of it. Is if not for the TJ, I would argue that Sakura should be the number one prospect. I just have a hard time with, you know, a 17-year-old that is so far away and that we haven't really seen do anything professionally. I've gotten some pretty positive reports from the Nats folks who have seen him, particularly defensively, what he looks like playing at West Palm right now. They have those games that they're playing that we don't get to watch and get any access to, which stinks. I think it's a dumb thing that baseball's doing, but he's going to stay at shortstop and up the middle with hit tool. Like, this was a player that I was elated that they took. We'll see if it works out, but I think the strategy was sound and terrific. So he's their new number one prospect. They slot Landon Harmon, the right-handed pitcher, the 18-year-old, who they took in the draft at 80th overall in as the number six prospect via MLB Pipeline at this point. He's another guy we probably won't see until next year. I should have mentioned that I don't think Eli Willits is going to get to Fredericksburg before the end of the season. I'd be surprised. They could push him. They could be aggressive and give him a week or two just to give him a taste. But at 17, I think that would be pretty bold. The guy maybe worth talking about here is Ethan Petrie, who is a college bat, the big-time power bat, who was a Cape Cod League star, hit for a lot of power, and just got drafted in the second round at 49 overall. He's already in Fredericksburg. He's played in five games. He hit his first home run the other night as part of a game where he had two doubles. So his first five games, Tobes, he's 7-for-18, and he's slugging out the wazoo. He's off to a real nice start.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice to see a lot of these guys doing well, and I think it's cool to see where this system has got. I thought it was interesting that MLB Pipeline put out, obviously, their updated rankings, but they ranked every system around the league, and they had Washington ranked at 23 after starting the year at 13. And some of that is graduations. You know, Brady House has now graduated. Some of the other guys, Cade Cavalli is going to eventually graduate. You know, some of these guys, I get that part of that plays into it, but I think the reason why, you know, they're down is maybe they don't have star power. But one thing that they do have now, Grant, is depth in this org that they probably have never had. And we've talked about this before. You know, depth is only so good. It's nice to have when you're kind of building on the big league club that's already good. You know, it's only worth so much, but you know, it gives you more guys that you can do things with. A guy that I wanted to point out, at one point, Yoandy Morales, early in his minor league career, reached as a top 100 prospect, and he was ranked pretty high in the national system. He's now the 20th ranked prospect, but the reason I bring him up, you look at his numbers overall in AAA this year, they're not great. 236, 324 on base, 380 slug for a 704 OPS. But that's not really looking into what he's done over the last month or so. His last 30 games, he's been really, really impressive, hitting 304, slugging 506. Got an OPS like 879 or somewhere around there. He's looked much more like the guy that was the potential top 100 prospect versus the guy that slid down the rankings this year. And that's kind of the point of where we're at, where Tyler Stewart at one point was a middle of the top 30. And I get he's having TJ as well, but he was somewhere that was middle of the top 30. He is now just their 30th ranked prospect. With what they did at the deadline, with what they did in this draft, they have now built a much deeper farm system. Now, you need some of these guys to work out. Travis Sikora, like you said, you know, coming off the injury, can he come back and get back to that level where he can potentially be an ace? Susana, Willits, like those three at the top are maybe the only three or one of the couple that could potentially be stars and building block type players, you know, at least closer to the big leagues. Like looking at Clemmy, can he work on some of his control issues and various things? But this system is much deeper than it's been in a long, long time. And so if they opt to keep all these guys and now they have depth at the big league level, great. But more than likely, you're going to have to package some of these guys to go get really good players to build and hopefully start winning some ball games in the future. And it's just something that this team hasn't had, where legitimately going 1 through 30, you're like, I could see a future for just about every one of these guys potentially at the big league level. And I don't know, in the history of the Nats being back in D.C. since 2005, I don't know that there's really ever a time that you could say that.
Well, and I would just also point this out as someone who cites these rankings all the time and does a prospect show where I kind of live and die by the information you get on some of these sites. You know, Jake Irvin was never really a legitimate big-time prospect in this system. He may have cracked the top 20 by the end, but barely if he did. Same with Mitchell Parker. Same with Jacob Young. My point in saying, like, Brad Lord was barely in the top 30 at the beginning of last year and was maybe in the top 20 when he got called up. I don't even know that he was. But my point in saying this is, like, the idea that you don't find big league contributors and help it without these rankings is just not true. I mean, it's the best that they can do. But every time I talk to somebody with the organization about, you know, some player in a different, they're like, well, look out for this guy, or this is someone they're sleeping on a little bit. And, like, I think that they feel like they've got, and every team's going to say this, but they feel like they got some guys that might be better than are viewed. Now, it can go the other way too, where, like, they had Elijah Green ranked in the top 5 or 6 at one point, you know, after a year where you said, okay, this guy's never going to hit and he just can't make contact. And
yeah,
they're basically covering their bases because he was the 5th overall pick. But I guess my point is, I think they've got a lot of, the depth word is perfect. Like, they have a ton of depth. I also think they have a lot of guys that'll be big leaguers that can help them. Is Jake Irvin a star? And he's regressed substantially this year. I still think he can be a helpful kind of back end rotation type piece, and he's given you a bunch of innings the last few years. No, he's not a star, but he's a helpful major leaguer. Like, he's had some really, really good outings and been a linchpin in this rotation. Jacob Young, same thing. Jacob Young's had a year where he's taken a step back, and you've kind of seen some of the warts get exposed offensively. But that's a premium defender with a plus tool, with a trait that helps you. Like, these are not prospects that are rated very highly on their way up. They do lack the star power, but the star power is, you know, in right field and Dylan Cruz, and in left field with James Wood, and at third base with Brady House. Like, they need those guys to become great players, right? Those are the guys that they've had in the system that have graduated, that are under control, that should anchor spots. And the one other point I want to make, the Double-A rotation right now is the best group of starters that they have had in years. So their Double-A rotation, if not for Sikora's injury, would be even more ridiculous. Because imagine if you added Sikora to this. But it's Harleen Susana, who the other night was awesome. Clemmy, who when you see him on the right day is electric. Jake Bennett has been really, really good. The lefty, former second-round pick out of Oklahoma. And then Jackson Kent, who's a little bit more boom or bust and maybe not the high-end starter. But, like, for a Double-A rotation that's four deep, like, every single night is an interesting guy that could turn into a big league starter. Kent, to me, is like the profile where he's at now professionally of what a Parker or an Irvin was at one point in time, maybe. Look at what they've turned into at the major league level. And if you had Sikora to that, like, since they've had Giolito, Pivetta, Ronaldo Lopez in the same rotation in Double-A way back when, they haven't had anything like this at an affiliate, you know, that close to the major league. So that stands out to me. But Susana continues to come on. He's commanding the ball better. He's got more distinction right now between the four and the two seam than he used to have. The shape on the changeup has improved. Him and Clemmie are similar. They've got to throw strikes, and if the ball's not over the plate, then what? Nothing matters. But you're seeing him start to put it together with a little bit more of the elongated repertoire as a starter, not like the flame-throwing reliever that maybe a lot of people thought he was going to be, and he still might if he doesn't throw enough strikes. But you're at least starting to see him kind of put the starting profile together more consistently.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the main thing that you need, which is stuff, and then you can build off of that. Now, like you said, the main thing now is control, because both the guys are just absolutely nasty. You don't give up a lot of hits. Now, Clemmie in his first double-A start did give up 8 hits, 8 earned runs, 4 homers, so struggled in his first double-A start, but that's jumping up a level. In high-A, he was really, really good, but you got a lot of arms that you can dream on. And I think that's one of the things that they've done a good job with this system, specifically with this draft and things that they did at this deadline, is it the highest ranked guys? No, but could you see a Coy James? Could you see a Landon Harmon, an Alex Clemmie, a Luke Dickerson, Miguel Cime, Ronnie Cruz? Could you see those sorts of dudes jumping into being a top five prospect for this team and potentially, you know, getting into the back top 100? Sure. Like that's the kind of guys that they brought in. Now, the big thing is what we've talked about before they let go of Mike Rizzo, and now we're going to have to continue to talk about it. They have to develop these guys. They're a long ways away. They've got a lot of talent. The reason that they're probably further down is just because of how far they are away, but the talent is there for a lot of these guys. It's just being able to get it out of them. And so it's a good spot to be with this, this farm system. It's a good spot for the Nats. The tough part is when you have a farm system that already has the elite guys that have graduated in the big league club hasn't really taken a step forward. So they're going to have to figure out whether they're going to continue this sort of rebuild and keep this thing going and hopefully peak by a couple of years from now, or if they're going to move some of these guys in the offseason to try to be a little more aggressive and win some ball games next year. But at least the farm system is in a good spot where I think the word is depth, because the star power isn't fully there, but they do have a lot of guys that could have big league futures.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Next up for the Nationals, day off on Monday, and then the Mets are in town Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Old friend Juan Soto back in the district. The Mets, by the way, have the second worst record in the league since their hot start to the season. They were 19-34 coming into the weekend. I think the Nationals were 19-35 in that 54 game or whatever it is sample, basically a third of a season. Mets fans are just absolutely beside themselves, so it'd be a great chance to really annoy some Mets fans in your life if they could take 2 out of 3 from New York. We'll be back after that series. Thanks for listening to Bustin' Loose Baseball.